tired heathen. First place I'll have you is Job 42. The book of Job, chapter 42. While you're going there, I began reading the book of Exodus in my Bible reading. I'm in three places, and that's one of the places that I'm at. And in the beginning of that book, it says, Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. We're going to talk about generations today. And it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, that is in Egypt, and they multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. But verse 8 says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So a different generation there. On any given Lord's Day or Wednesday evening service, we gather as one people, but we are at least three generations, I would say. Emma and Tyler, they're of a different generation than me. A generation, I believe, generally is between 30 and 40 years. I'd say 35 is a good number. But we have, in our church, we have the young generation, young people. We have the young ones, and then we have ones between, say, 25 and 45, and then we have everybody, the older generation. So I would say we have three generations here. Job, and here's where I got that from. Job, in his latter days, it says in Job 42:12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, this is the second set, because initially, in the beginning, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, but we know that they had died. And it says, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land there were no women so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And here in the last two verses, after this, Job lived 140 years. That's after his trial. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. And Job died being old and full of days. So 4 generations would translate to 140 years. So you're thinking 4 generations. Listen, think about Job and all that he had gone through. You think Job had something to say and something to teach to his children, first of all? So there's his children. Second, there's his grandchildren. That's 2 generations. Then there was his great-grandchildren, and then he had his great-great-grandchildren. You think Job had something to teach them, something to tell them? Beloved, tonight I want to talk to us about our generation. What are we doing for Christ in our generation? Listen, whether we have children or not, the scriptures teach us as Christians that we are responsible to teach this generation, our generation, about Christ. And the older and more mature that we become in Christ, beloved, the more we ought to be able to speak a good word about Christ in due season. We ought to be able to say something for Christ. The older we get in the Lord, it ought not be that we have nothing to say. I mean, listen, as we grow, that should accompany our testimony. Look at Psalm 145, the book of the Psalms, 145. And notice what the psalmist here says. This is David's psalm, a psalm of praise. Verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall, and this I believe is our calling, beloved, as Christians, one generation shall praise thy works to another. That's how the truth of God passes, beloved. God uses us. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare his mighty acts. I will speak, verse 5, of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Look at verse 12. He says, well, verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That should be us, beloved. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. One thing that doesn't change through the generations is the kingdom of God. It's the same. And beloved, we ought to be passing down what God has given us. Listen, we're living in perilous times. You know that. And you know that there's a generation out there that, look at Proverbs. Let me show you this. This is what's out there now. And of course, in many respects, this has always been out there in the generations. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Listen, we're living in perilous times. And the gospel of Christ is the only thing that is going to stop. If you read Revelation, there's the pale horse of death and hell. The only thing that's going to stop the pale rider, the pale horse of death and hell, from trampling lost souls by the thousands each day is Christ, is the rider of the white horse, going forth conquering and conquer. He conquers souls by his love. But beloved, we know that the generations of the world, there are generations, in every generation, there's the wicked in every generation. And you can see this. Look at Proverbs 30, 11. You know there it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Well, we've got that. We've got that today. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Talking about those like the Pharisees. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, full of pride. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Beloved, until the Lord returns, generations of humans will continue to come and to go. In fact, Ecclesiastes, just listen, says this, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You know, I go to Holden's house, and he likes gun smoke. I like gun smoke. In the evening, sometimes when everything calms down for a few minutes, I'll turn on gun smoke. And I realize, I don't remember how I told this to, but I said, everybody that I watch on Gunsmoke is dead. That whole generation is gone. Or Bonanza. Or any of those shows like that. They're all gone. Those generations are gone. And beloved, one day we're going to be gone. One day this entire generation, our generation, is going to be in the dust. You'll be able to find us if the Lord does not return. You'll be able to find us in the grave. You'll be able to find our names on a granite stone. And my question for me is, what will I have done for Christ? What will I have left behind for the generation that is to come? Listen, in the economy of the generations, the older generation of Christians ought to be instructing and teaching the younger generations. We ought to be teaching. We ought to be instructing. We ought to be telling people what's wrong and right. We ought to be pointing them to Christ. But listen, we live in a time where people are afraid to say things. You know, people are afraid to get involved. Well, I'm not going to say anything. Well, to each his own, you know. No, beloved, we need to be telling people what's right and wrong, especially in our personal societies. Listen, we ought to be instructing and teaching them. We ought to be the wise. We ought to be the experienced. We ought to be the mature in this life pertaining to the things of God. We ought to be able to put a Christian worldview on what people view in the world and what people see as right when it's really wrong. Listen, the world is upside down and backwards. It's wicked, and we need to be able to tell people what's true and right as according to the will of God. We ought to be teaching our young people how to live in this present world. We ought to be teaching our kids that, even if they don't believe Christ. We ought to possess enough wisdom from God to teach those who don't have it. We ought to have something to say to those who know not God. And listen, oftentimes nowadays, you might be the younger speaking to one who is older and telling them about Christ. It's a shame to come to the elder years and have no wisdom from God. It really is. And look at Psalm 71. Turn there. Psalm 71. Read you a few references here. Psalm 71 and verse 16. The psalmist here writes, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, Adonai Jehovah. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Beloved, let us show the strength of God. Let us show the majesty of God. Let us show the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to our generation. Psalm 78, one of my favorite psalms for this subject, but Psalm 78 and verse 1. The psalmist here says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Beloved, that's us. We need to be telling the younger generations. And the psalmist goes on in verse 4, we will not hide them. That word them refers to the words of his mouth. We will not hide them, those words, from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come, and look, beloved, this is our responsibility, that the generation to come might know them. What's them again? It's the words of the Lord. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them, that is those words, to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be, notice this, as their fathers, and listen to what he says about this generation, they were stubborn and they were a rebellious generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Beloved, that's what I want us to do in our generation. We need to equip the next generation with the truths of God, so that even when you die, your words will be remembered. The Bible says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible speaks of the testimony of those that are dead, they yet speak. Beloved, let us leave behind the legacy of Christ. It forget ours. You know, in the Psalms, there's a Psalm 50, I think, or 49, where it talks about those that raise up great edifices and houses and great treasures on this earth so that their names will be carried on. Forget my name. The name of the Lord is the one we want to carry on. Now look at Joel 32. I want to show you a young man, and you know this young man was Elihu. A young man who sat and did the respectable thing while the aged men spoke in Job chapter 32. And he listened to these three men speak to Job. And actually what they did was they misapplied judgments upon Job for what had happened in his life. They actually said true things. They were true, but they misapplied them to Job. They judged Job as a sinner for his trial that he was going through. And finally, they finished speaking, and Elihu is going to speak. And it says in verse 32:1, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because, notice, they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. So he knew his place. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and durst not show mine opinion. We ought to have respect for the aged like that, beloved. And then he goes on and says, I said, days should speak. And listen, this is something that I want to always remember from me. And I pray that you'd mark this down and put it in your mind. Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. The longer you live, the wiser you should become. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And then verse 9 is really the thing that strikes at these guys, and it strikes at those who ought to be wise. Elihu said, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. It's terrible to become old and not be wise. It's terrible to become old and be a fool. And so Elihu answered these men. Now look at one verse in Acts chapter 21. It's a verse that not a whole lot is said about. This is the Apostle Paul, and he was going to stay for the night in Caesarea, and they brought him. And in Acts chapter 21 and verse 15, this is when Paul was going to Rome. It says, in verse 15, and after those days, we took up our carriages, and that's their baggage, and they went up to Jerusalem, and there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus. And notice this, he was an old disciple with whom we should lodge. Now, I wonder why they wanted them to lodge with old Mnason. Well, you know what? He was an aged disciple, and so he probably had a lot of things to share, and I believe he probably had some wisdom for the apostles when they stayed there. Now, Titus chapter 2, turn there. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul gives instruction here to men and women. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. Aged men, meaning men of years. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself or presenting yourself a pattern or a model of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so, beloved, that's good instruction for us, something that we need to take to heart. Now, I'll finish up with the Lord Jesus. He spake of the prominent generation of his day. Think about that generation that lived with Christ in his generation. Think about that. Now, when I say the prominent generation of his day, by that I mean the generation that was leading. In that time, there were those that were aged between probably 20 and 40. And they were the generation that was leading. They were in charge. They were responsible for pointing the people of Israel to the one true God. We know it was the religious leaders of that day. Now, this is what Jesus said about the people of that generation, about those cities and towns who had the privilege of Christ living among them, where he did the most of his preaching and his miracles. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Just look at a few passages here. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus talks about those generations. Let's see. It is 11:16. I'm sorry, not 10. 11:16. Jesus says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation?" That's like saying, what is this generation like? The generation that was there present when Jesus was among them. "It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of his children. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." And this is that generation. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And then last of all, Matthew 12 and verse 38. And so this is how Jesus spoke of that generation. He says, this is what this generation's like. "We've played music and you've not danced. We've piped, you've not mourned." In other words, that they were walking dead people. It's like The Walking Dead, you know, like I guess there's a TV show named that. But that's how the people were. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Look there. "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Can you imagine that? I never really thought about that. At the judgment, it's implied here that there's a generation. Can you imagine being that generation at the judgment seat at the great white throne that was with Christ and yet believed him not? Amazing thing. And it says, those that were in Sodom, and they'll rise in judgment with this generation. Same judgment, but different generations. Beloved, we're not Christ, we're not the apostles, but we ought to be the greatest influencers of souls toward Christ in our families and in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, for our generation. This is our generation. Listen, the only thing that matters in our Christian lives, when it's all said and done, and we're like gun smoke, and no more of us are here, is what was done for Christ. It's what was done for Christ. This is why I love the Proverbs. It's an old wise man, Solomon, teaching his children, teaching his son. My son, this is what you need to do. In fact, I'll just read. I love how the Proverbs begins, and I'll be done. In the Proverbs, in the beginning, Solomon writes, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Beloved, let us teach this generation. Let us not neglect them. Let us not put them in front of the computers, the phones, the TVs. Let us teach and instruct them. My question for us as we leave is, how are you serving your generation? How does the Lord liken us in our generation? What are you passing on to your children and the younger generations coming up behind you? What am I passing on? And even what are we passing on to older generations, many of whom know not the Lord? Before long, beloved, again, our generation will pass. And what will we have done for the Lord? Psalm 89:1 says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." And then he goes on to say, thought I knew it, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." To all generations. Amen. I pray that the Lord would help us all to affect this generation for Christ. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, thank you, oh God, for speaking to me in this. I pray that you have also helped these brethren, Father. I pray that we would see that, Lord, it falls to us. We are your mouthpieces, Father. We are to be epistles of Christ, known and read of all men. Father, help us to be faithful, O God. Help us to speak of the things that we know of thee and that we love of thee. Let us speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Help us, Heavenly Father, I pray, to be faithful. Lord, help us to have a good word, and may we be ready to speak it in due season. May we be ready in season and out of season, Father. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for what you've given us. Strengthen us, Father, that we might be those wise Christians, Father, in our generation, speaking for Christ. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.